All right, let's be official about it. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 122D, page 472, and we've been discussing the crisis of incarnation, reorientation, initiation, renunciation, crisis of the battlefield, crisis of the birth, and crisis of the burning ground, and each has its own quality connected. The quality, interestingly, of the very first one is individualization. It's more a process than a quality, I would say. Individualization, reversal, expansion, crucifixion, conflict, initiation, and liberation. And the interrelationships are here, and I don't know. Let's just say we have been studying Virgo and Leo, Leo and Virgo, and DK calls our attention to the fact that Leo and Virgo are found in the earlier triangle of Leo, Virgo, Pisces, and here he puts them both together. Pisces is not involved in any of these crises particularly. So we come to the point where he says, you will note that the two of the constellations which we have just been considering, Leo and Virgo, are to be found in this list. Five constellations are not so intimately concerned with the mass human crises, but are more definitely related to the unfoldment of the individual disciple. Okay, Sagittarius, Libra, Taurus, Pisces and Aquarius, related to the unfoldment of the individual disciple. Mass human crises? Why mass? Maybe because I suppose all human beings at one time or another have to pass through them, though are all human beings on the path of initiation, or will they ever be, or will the mass continue to rise until those who have not struck out on their own to tread the initiatory path are eventually raised with all their associates who also have not struck out on their own until they are subjected to the same processes, but in a group sense and according to the slow rising of the entire human race. Sagittarius, the one-pointed disciple, Libra, the method of choosing between the pairs of opposites and the ability to tread the middle way. Taurus, the sign of desire, aspiration, intellectual activity. Is that what it says? Intelligent activity. That's what it was. And finally, illumination of its own kind. Pisces, the sign of final release. Since it is much more difficult to take the fifth initiation, let us say, in Pisces, or the fourth, than in Aquarius, and it relates the one who takes that initiation to Shambhala, you wonder why a crisis isn't involved. But let's see what he says. And Aquarius, which is a sign of synthesis and universality, producing the server of the group and the server of the world. So five signs are not involved in mass crisis. But if we look at signs of crisis, we definitely find Libra involved with Leo and Capricorn. We don't so much find Sagittarius involved. No planet is exalted or falls in Sagittarius. Taurus has a generally warlike and battle-ridden nature, to which Mars, in detriment, only adds a little bit more confusion. We do not have an exaltation or a fall in Aquarius either. In Pisces, we definitely do. Well, DK has his own good reasons for adding these five signs as not so intimately concerned with the mass human crisis. I guess they are somewhat concerned. I guess all signs can be involved in human crisis on one level or another. excuse me, but these particular seven signs are powerfully involved in human crisis. I suppose this group of seven would have to be compared with the group of nine that begins with Virgo and works its way clockwise and produces the birth in Capricorn. How does it go? Let's see. Do I have to count backwards? Virgo, Leo, Cancer, Gemini, Taurus, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius, and Capricorn. Nine signs. Nine signs of related to the birthing process if we move counterclockwise from Virgo. He gives us these wonderful lists, and then we have to compare the signs which are left out, the signs which are included. There's all kinds of cross relations. Pisces has, however, at this time, a unique relation to the seven constellations which produce the great human crises. We saw Pisces involved in the triangle leading to sacredness for the planetary logos, Virgo, Leo, Virgo, Pisces. We also saw Pisces involved in the lines of descent which led into the human chakras, Pisces along the Sirian line. It also completes the... I wonder what this unique relation to the seven constellations which produce the great human crises might be. What is this relation? Some sort of synthesis or universalization? It is also completes the final united effort of the triangle Leo Virgo Pisces. It has been the steady impact of Piscean force over 2,000 years or even over 25,000 years anteriorly, which has at long last brought humanity, the world disciple, to the very door of initiation. When was humanity the world aspirant? Sometimes when you look at humanity, you might wonder whether it's even the world aspirant. Well, I think that much we can guarantee. And the world disciple humanity, I suppose immediately before the first initiation, one can be considered a disciple, still a probationary disciple in a sense, not yet an accepted disciple. Humanity has been brought to the very door of initiation. This is the first initiation. So Pisces, let's put it like this, Pisces leads humanity to the first initiation. For over 2,000 years, the Piscean influence has been playing upon mankind. And I suppose in a double sense, very intensified. Why? Because we're still, it appears, the world period in which we are in, that is a Platonic year, began with Pisces, we are told. And the next world period will begin with Aquarius, and we're still in that 25,000-year Pisces period, and we are emerging from it. We are having, within that period, the last age of, the last of the processional ages, I think, the age of Pisces, in the lesser sense. So we have the lesser processional age of some 2,160 years, and it's ruled by Pisces, and the larger overlay tells us that we're in a Platonic year, still ruled by Pisces, but the change to Aquarius will come, and DK says we cannot determine by our own science when that will happen. So for over 2,000 years, Piscean influence has been playing upon mankind. It has brought about the demand for world adjustment, so that the energy of love and wisdom can come through with which Pisces is deeply associated, it has developed the international spirit, breaking down boundaries, we might say. Okay. Boundaries between peoples and nations, and would it were so, religions, although there is an ecumenical movement which can be considered Aquarian Pisces in nature, and has led to the formation of groups in every department of human living. Because Pisces, after all, if you think about it, ruled largely by the second ray in a higher sense and by Jupiter, the forming of groups. So it's not only the purificatory aspects here and the finalized conditions of karma, which have been so drastic, but there is that group formation, and so laid the foundation for the future synthesis in Aquarius. We are moving clockwise as we move towards Aquarius. Oftentimes you would think that moving counterclockwise, Aquarius prepares for Pisces, but it can also be said that Pisces prepares for Aquarius. So there has been a, how did DK say, group, wholeness, and universality. That seems to be a progression. He associated that with Pisces, as I recall, and both of the signs which overlap, namely Pisces Aquarius, overlapping constellations, physically overlapping, lead to this type of development. So the more advanced types responding to the Piscean energy have caught the group spirit. It's leading to the perception of wholeness. How did he say just a little while ago? Here it is. The awareness universal in nature of the initiate as he emerges out of the ranks of the disciples. The higher aspect of Pisces, awareness of the group, of the whole of the universe. I use the word universality. The energy of Buddhi. Buddhi fuses and harmonizes all and helps elevate the solar plexus to the heart. So let's just say here that this is the looking at Pisces here, the fusion and harmonization of the whole. Okay, fusion and harmonization. All right, so the influence of this triangle finds symbolic expression in the life of the self-conscious individual who reaches self-awareness in Leo, everything about his own preferences and inclinations and the distinctness of his nature from that of others, because the law of cleavage is under the fifth ray, which passes through Leo, is at work. I'm different from you. I'm distinct. I'm my own person, unique. The, what can we call the, individual uniqueness factor. The influence of this triangle finds symbolic expression in the life of the self-conscious individual who reaches self-awareness in Leo, in the culturing care of Virgo, and the final self-release in Pisces. It's as if the Ahamkaric principle dissolves in Pisces. Okay. As if the Ahamkaric... No, I'm not getting it. But I know it exists. Principle dissolves in Pisces. Venus is exalted. Venus created the individualized man, at least in our solar system and in our fourth chain. And there is then an elevation of that individuality into universality. So Venus exalted in Pisces shows the elevation of individuality into universality. And I'm wondering, thinking that the sun has a very important meaning in the last decanate of Pisces, in which we can call it the universalization of the self. Sun in the last decan of Pisces, the universalization of the self. Is Cepheus the king to be associated with the last decan of Pisces? I think so. Well, here we have a little bit from our decanate table, and sure enough, the band between the fishes is the to be associated with the first decan in the clockwise manner, Andromeda definitely with the second. And the king, Cepheus, with the third decan, Mars, and the final sun is there, which universalizes the selfhood. And Mercury falls entirely and is dissolved into the most intuitive type of mind. So this fits that the last decan of Pisces gives universalization and the, gives universalization just as the last decan of Capricorn gives initiation. So Mars is there in Pisces at the end, but the sun is even more important, and Mercury falls away. It's almost like the end of the Antikorana in the particular stage of the Antikorana building we have been using. Things always come together. The duality comes together at a certain crossing point. And then we're off on the building of yet another Antikorana to resolve still another duality. The culturing care. This is a mnemonic. It should be remembered carefully, and it relates to motherhood and to those who take the responsibility of motherhood very carefully, both in the spiritual as well as in the outer sense, to bring culture to the child and to care not just for the outer form, but to care for the psyche in a spiritual way, and self-release. This is the term I find very interesting relating to the sun. The sun is exalted in Aries, the next sign, but the last ruler of the last the Piscean decanate, 20 to 30, is also the sun. It is implied. So there is a release of the self into the great self. It's kind of a pralaya for the little self, of the little self. All right. Well, that may cover pretty well the triangle of Leo, Virgo, Pisces, and the seven signs of crisis which the mass of human beings experience, and that includes initiatory crises. But whenever there's a crisis, there's always a conflict between two energies, main two energies, and there's a choice involved of going backward or doing what is necessary to move forward into greater consciousness and potency. And that, of course, will involve the will. Generally speaking, all initiatory process involves the will. That's why we find, interestingly, even before the first initiation, we find Vulcan and Pluto, two planets of will, involved. Right. We might here give a little time to the practical lessons to be learnt from the seven crises through which man, the individual, and humanity, the larger whole, must pass. So he doesn't say it's only the mass, but also man, the individual, must pass through these seven. And each one of us could ask, you know, are we in the process of or near the process of any one of these seven? or are some of these crises occurring more than one in a single life or even at the same time? Certainly some of these crises we're not going to be passing through. We're not going to pass through the crisis of individualization in the sense of entry into the fourth kingdom of nature, although there might be other types of individualization for the higher beings, if the law of analogy holds good. We're not going to pass through the crisis of reversal, where we are beginning to pay attention to the higher self, the higher power, whatever we want to call it. We could be involved in the crisis of initiation, eventually of renunciation. Many may be probationary initiates involved in the crisis of the battlefield. As far as the crisis of the birth concerns, probably most faithful readers of Alice Bailey and of the Tibetan over a long period of time will have passed through that the crisis of the birthplace. They will be initiates of the first degree. And as far as the crisis of the burning ground, in the sense of the Leonian final burning ground, no, but in the sense of any of the burning grounds, some of which may be part of the path of probationary initiation, yes, we could be passing through those too. So what are the practical implications here, as DK is suggesting? In considering these crises which take place in the life history of the soul, from its first incarnation to its final release, and okay, now we really understand. What we understand is that we began with cancer and ended with Leo. These two neighboring signs, which sometimes are the considered the starting points in certain zodiacal systems. What we have here, though, is Cancer definitely represents the beginning of the human kingdom with individualization, and Leo represents the end. It is the final burning ground, indeed. It's from this deep implantation in matter under the moon all the way to the sun, a full revelation, liberation, and the sun veiling Uranus at that. So there's no question that even though we did not observe a strict sequence in that sevenfold listing of crises, we do have a beginning and we do have an end. And it's interesting that they are neighboring signs, neighboring constellations, and that Cancer is a constellation of dark light. It's even, as a constellation with respect to our solar system, quite faint, quite invisible, quite veiled, not at all luminous. And next to it is Leo, very luminous. Leo is representing the end of the human kingdom, the perfection of the number five, the mastership. Okay, Leo, mastership, end of human kingdom, because the master is still an exemplar of the human kingdom, though a Chohan is not. We learn in the rays and the initiations. Is the fifth ray involved in the fifth initiation? Well, it would have to be so by numerical resonance, but really, in a way, the higher octave of the fifth ray is involved with the first ray. If you look at the Tetractys, you'll see the five rising to the one. And the fifth ray soul is, when it changes, if it does change, transferring onto the first ray. So there is release here in Leo. There now, in terms of the initiatory process, we have the beginning of initiation and the end, at least in the human phase. Because Leo is the sign which indicates the first initiation, along with some others, of course. And Leo is the sign which indicates the fifth initiation, first and fifth. Again, those numbers. So, in considering these crises, which take place in the life history of the soul, from its first incarnation until its final release, it will be found that seven major constellations and their influences pouring through the exoteric and the esoteric planets stage the circumstances. The word stage is so interesting. It's such a, you know, Leonian word. Present, arrange, make visible. I spent a lot of time as a staging director in my life in the opera field, and I know how very Leo it is. Stage the circumstances and conditions, and condition the environment of the onward-moving spiritual man. So we'd have to look at the crises that are connected with any one of these seven, and somehow realize that the ruling planets are going to contribute to the consummation of the crisis. Certain lives will occur when one or other of these constellations, I would say through a sign, will exert a predominant influence. They will produce that focusing of forces which, given a man's particular equipment at any point in time, will evoke from him the maximum of possible effort, thus enabling him to move forward into a more enlightened consciousness. Well, it seems so important. I want to underline it. Certain lives will occur when one or other of these constellations will exert a predominant influence. What? As rising sign, as the sun sign, as containing a stellium and perhaps being either the rising sign or the sun sign as well, they will produce the focusing of forces, which, given a man's particular equipment at any point in time, will evoke from him the maximum of possible effort. And, put it like this. I have to put it in red. The focusing produces the evocation. So if a particular type of force is focused, effort from man will be the response, thus enabling him to move forward into a more enlightened state of consciousness. So every crisis is meant to lead into greater light. Once passed. Okay. Well, maybe I can't leave that red, because then it will become confused with what I'm trying to say about it. Let's choose another color. Blue will be good. So just see in your own life what particular sign of crisis may be active and what kind of crisis it might be producing and what kind of effort it is invoking for you. And is it the maximum of possible effort? Because when the maximum is evoked, changes do occur. And that's what we're seeking to have occur. The change which will lead to greater light, a more enlightened state. And maybe more than one of these signs of crisis is found powerful or predominant in your chart, in which case you may be involved in a mixture of two kinds of crises. And if not the crisis at the exact stage of evolution that we're discussing it, then a crisis at a lower or higher correspondence to the stage at which the crisis usually occurs. Like, you know, Virgo is the crisis of the birthplace, but what other kinds of births might there be? Scorpio is the crisis of the battleground, which usually takes place at the second initiation, but is there a battleground before the third? Or a battleground before the first? And, you know, the burning grounds of Leo, there are a number of them. It doesn't have to be the final burning ground. There can be lower anticipations of the final burning ground, which can be significant to you. So these crises are prepared by smaller crises of the same nature, which are foregoing, and can be also the reverberation of the crisis once passed, can show itself as still a higher turn of the spiral. As Master DK said, you know, we have to induce our own crises, engineer our own crises, and if we're not having a crisis, which leads to a decisive emergence, why are we not having a crisis? Humanity, the fourth kingdom of nature, has the habit of crisis, and we have to capitalize upon that tendency, because today the opportunity for rapid emergence is possible. Enter into crisis, exert maximum possible effort, and then emerge. Enabling him to move forward into a more enlightened state of consciousness, DK says, you will note, I do not say enable him to be victorious. A man may succeed in surmounting the testing conditions and emerge, and in emerging conqueror over circumstances upon the physical plane, and yet be defeated. How could that be? How? Is it a question of consciousness? The reason for this is that unless the struggle and the emergence, okay, produce a basic change in consciousness, unless the struggle and the emergence produce a basic change in consciousness and a greatly extended horizon, they will prove futile to accomplish their intended task. So all progress for a human being at this time must be expressed or understood in terms of consciousness. Understood in terms of consciousness. So I suppose the question for us is, do the struggles in which we find ourselves engaged actually lead to an expansion of consciousness? Do we notice this? If we feel in our life we have emerged successfully from some struggle, has it produced a gain for our consciousness? Maybe not greatly extended horizon, maybe not a basic change in consciousness, but at least there will be some success if there has been a positive change in consciousness and an extended horizon. And of course, if we really prove victorious, they will be basic changes in consciousness and a greatly extended horizon. In studying the moments of crisis, it must be remembered that they are passed through approximately three times from the standpoint of the major life cycle, and are recapitulated in a minor sense in some particular life or groups of lives. Okay, well, this is saying in a better way what I had tried to say about anticipations of the crisis as it is here listed, and reverberations after the crisis on a higher turn of the spiral. It must be remembered that they are passed through approximately three times from the standpoint of the major life cycle. What does he mean by that? The entire duration of human evolution, maybe? And also recapitulated in a minor sense in some particular life or group of lives. I mean, even if we passed it, it may be recapitulated. So even if we have passed a crisis, it may be recapped, because we are born in many, many lives, and we have these same signs over and over again in different combinations, and they have similar indications, even if the fullness of the evocation of our maximum effort is not the result in a particular life. The three cycles of major import in the consciousness of the reincarnating ego are, now are these the major life cycle? Let's see. Okay, so are these to be considered major life cycles? But he says the major life cycle. But he, the major life cycle. So there are other, maybe lesser groupings. Maybe there are three cycles of major importance in the major life cycle. Are there three cycles of major import in the major life cycle? Are there? All right. So, what are these three cycles of major import? Let's see where we are. The evolutionary cycle from individualization to liberation, from the state of primitive man to the emergence upon the stage of world affairs of a master, of a wisdom, of the wisdom of Buddha or Christ. Well, that seems like the major life cycle. This seems all-inclusive. This seems like the major life cycle, all-inclusive, of what a man, a human being, will pass through. Then, number two, the cycle of aspiration. This is included in the first one. From the stage of intelligent, integrated man to that of accepted disciple, and from the experience of intellectual expression in the three worlds to that of the probationer who is seeking trial upon the path and is beginning to take his spiritual unfoldment consciously in hand. Well, this is not yet the cycle of... This is very much controlled, in a way, by Sirius, Cancer... I'll just put them this way. Cancer, Capricorn, and Saturn. It leads to the probationary path. The probationer. And it involves, I would suppose, the fifth petal, the intelligent, integrated man in Leo and the fifth petal. To that of the accepted disciple, it could include also the Pleiadian triangle. The Pleiades, Gemini, Sagittarius, Mercury. Because accepted discipleship occurs after the first initiation. Accepted discipleship from the experience of intellectual expression in the three worlds to that of the probationer. So the starting point in both cases, intelligent integrated man, that is Leo, and intellectual expression, that is Leo. But the accepted disciple follows the first degree. So the petals involved are the fifth, sixth, and seventh, not all of them equally unfolded. Not all equally unfolded. Oh, yes. The fifth will be fully unfolded by the end of this cycle because the fifth represents the first initiation. And the seventh petal is touched by the rod of initiation, or, you know, whether it's precisely touched or its energy is communicated. The seventh petal is involved, and the sixth petal is rapidly unfolding, fully unfolded by the second initiation. But usually accepted discipleship, as I understand it at least, is occurring before the second initiation occurs, maybe in some cases afterwards. Though DK does describe how one can be an initiate and still not an accepted disciple, because it has to do with a personal relationship or intimate relationship with the master per se. And that was an interesting revelation. So that's the second cycle, and it is modern. It's intelligent man as he is becoming the disciple. So it's the two columns. It's not undeveloped man at all. We began with undeveloped man. Undeveloped man all the way to mastership, the larger cycle, and a lesser cycle within it, the cycle of aspiration. And now I suppose the cycle, cycle of initiation, still within the first cycle, which is all-inclusive, from the preparatory stage of accepted discipleship, I see, this is continuous from what is achieved in number two. So a cycle continuing from cycle two. The cycle of initiation from the preparatory stage of accepted discipleship, which follows the first degree, interestingly enough, because no man, he says, except for the exceptions, and there was one such in his group, no man is accepted as a disciple by the master unless he's taken the first initiation. It's generally the case, almost always the case, but there was one instance where, for the sake of the protection of the individual involved, he was accepted without having been able to stand before the Christ per se. So that is very interesting. The cycle of initiation from the preparatory stage of accepted disciple to that of master and still higher grades. So, and the still higher grades, however, are included in the first all-inclusive cycle because such beings as the Christ and the Buddha are mentioned, and they are now in the seventh degree initiatory process. These seven Christs are each reenacted during the process of self-initiation into the world of meaning and of reality. Right. So, you know, you don't have to go all the way back to the reorientation and it's almost like tightening cycles. You know, these seven phases occur over the long span from individualization to total liberation, but they are reenacted in the lesser cycles, so it seems. Are each reenacted during the process of self-initiation. It's not someone doing something for you, it's your own initiative, your own penetration of the veils, through the process of self-initiation into the world of meaning and reality. They constitute the keynote or the motif of each of the seven initiations. Wow. So it is as if we go through seven stages for each of the seven initiations. In order, what would they be? Each of these seven initiations permits entry into the state of divine consciousness on each of the seven planes of divine experience and expression. Well, what that seems to mean, in the obvious way, we have one initiation per plane. Now, is he trying to say something more complex? Each one of the seven initiations permits entry into one of the states of divine consciousness, or into the state of divine consciousness which pertains to one of the seven planes of divine experience and expression. That's one way to look at it. But these seven crises are each reenacted during the process of self-initiation into the world of meaning and of reality. Well, either they are reenacted once, or, as seems to be hinted, though not explicitly stated, when you are approaching a particular stage, it's possible to have a correspondence to each one of these crises. That would be quite a working out if we were to do that when approaching any one of the initiations. There would be a correspondence to one of the seven crises. Well, you know, individualization, we would somehow be established, anchored within the particular field of that which is to be attained. Reorientation, we'd have to turn our back on what had been achieved before. We'd have to be initiated into that field. We'd go through a battle, of course. We'd have to be born into the field. We'd go through a battle. We'd have to renounce certain things in order finally to be initiated. I think we could find correspondences. It would take a little bit of work. But as we look at these crises and we look at the signs of the zodiac which are pronounced in our chart, and we look at the stage of evolution in which we find ourselves, we can probably find some correspondence to these crises which are working out in our life. That would be a good question for a school in the future. Discuss the stage of evolution at which you find yourself and why you think you find yourself there. How are the seven crises working out correspondentially or actually in the stage of evolution at which you find yourself and with reference to that which must be achieved by you? Well, those will be the days towards which all kinds of school work that we're doing now will lead. So, in studying the moments of crisis, it must be remembered that they are passed through approximately three times from the standpoint of the major life cycle. And I think I'm understanding this a little better. Each of these crises passed through in each of the three cycles mentioned below. And within these major three, which, you know, the large one, from individualization to the state of the Christ or Buddha, the next one from the intellectual man to accepted discipleship, the next one from accepted discipleship on to the high initiations. In each one of those, there will be an expression of one of these crises, and within each one of the little ones as well, number two and number three, there will be groups of lives that are part of the overall achievement, and in these groups of lives, these crises may as well be reflected. I don't want to get too complicated here, or I'll lose myself, and you. So, the idea is at least to understand what the seven crises are, the stages at which they work out in the major life cycle, and the stages that they could work out in general, going from the intellectual man to accepted discipleship, so sort of from the fifth to the seventh petal, how those crises could appear, what mode they would appear in, and then how they would appear again from the stage of accepted discipleship to high initiation. I mean, we have to, in a way, be re-individualized. We have to change our identity in this third cycle. We have to be, we have to reorient ourselves on the basis of that new identity. We have to eventually, of course, be repeatedly initiated along the way into these expansions of consciousness. We have to renounce that which held us back. All along, there are going to be battles and burning grounds and conflicts between the counterpoles, and we're being each time born into a new dimension, the crisis of the birthplace. And initiation is essentially that anyway. And then there will be a final liberation in the phase which we discuss. And maybe in some subcategory, all of these could be repeated again, and there would be a final liberation into the next potential phase. So we have the big cycle. We have cycles 2 and 3 contained within the big cycle. And we might have subsidiary divisions of cycles 2 and 3. All this a master can see, and somehow master like DK, he synthesizes all of this technical information into a piece of cogent, salient advice in the letters to his disciples. They are getting the distillation of what he sees. They're not getting all of what he sees, because it would be overwhelming and maybe not too useful. But in terms of how it all boils down to the next thing they have to do, which an understanding of their stage of evolution reveals, that they are receiving, that distillation, the boil down, that which Master DK distills and condenses from all that he sees. So this could be mapped out, you know, one large cycle, and then within it, two smaller cycles. Left to right, right to left. I don't know how it looks to you that I'm proceeding, but I'm proceeding to the right. So these cycles are well worth memorizing. The final one is called the cycle of initiation. The second one is called the cycle of aspiration. And the, let's make that just 18. Probably too big. And the evolutionary cycle, the broad one, in which the crises naturally occur. Well, all this should help us orient ourselves, shouldn't it? I mean, we should know somewhat what we are passing through. And many of us will find ourselves in transitional stages. And we can refer back to those six constellations, zodiacal constellations, which are involved in transitions. And if you're reading these books, you're studying these books, if you want to know something about them, you're definitely found somewhere in the process that's indicated by three pairs of constellations, either from, you know, the average man to the probationer, from the probationer to the accepted disciple, from the accepted disciple to the initiate. We will be found somewhere there. and we will see what influences we should be responding to. And maybe they will be in our chart, and maybe we are responding to them. The influences of these seven constellations is symbolized by three triangles and a final synthesis or focal point. Esoterically, these triangles are usually depicted as superimposed, but for the sake of clarity, we will separate them. Now, here are the three triangles. I can't really copy them. Wherever it says figure in the Alice Betty CD-ROM, when you press the figure, it doesn't seem that you can copy them into any other text. But now, cycle one. A large cycle in the cardinal signs, Cancer, Aries, Capricorn. I'm sure he'll tell us something about this. Cycle two, Gemini, Scorpio, and Virgo. And this will be the emergence of the probationary disciple from the intellectual man, I suppose. Cycle three is the initiatic cycle. Interestingly, beginning with Capricorn, the sign of initiation, passing to Virgo, if that's the way they're doing it, and ending up in Leo. But why the lower point? Is Leo indeed the final burning ground? Does Capricorn somehow represent a final emergence? Virgo certainly is one of the major signs of discipleship, the cultured caring or cultured care of Virgo. So let's keep these in mind. I think they're going to be very important now. Let's just read just a little bit here. The influences of these seven constellations is symbolized by three triangles and a final synthesis or focal point. Now, all the three, here's the beginning, in a way, and here's the end. Cancer begins and Leo ends. So the ending point, I think, is well taken, with Leo at the very bottom here. Aries, the crisis of reorientation, Capricorn initiation, Gemini renunciation, Scorpio the battleground. Now, which battle? Virgo, the birth, the crisis of the birthplace into what? Capricorn and Virgo repeated again, and Leo, this time, rounding out the seven. So we actually have 9 points. They are superimposed, says the Tibetan. But there are 9 points here and only 7 constellations. And we will see how he intends to treat these. This really is astrology from the larger point of view, and he's saying it's more important because the blueprint of the entire phenomenal universe is here contained. I think to myself, how is it possible, after going through so many pages and thinking so many thoughts, that we can assimilate this in a way which is really revelatory to our fellow human beings, so they can say, who am I, where am I, what am I doing, how should I prioritize, what will success really mean? What will victory really mean? How do I achieve it? It's such an expansive field of thought. And add to this cosmic fire, you know, you can only imagine what's in Master DK's mind, and by now, of course, he's probably moved far beyond this, and you know, for him, this was all a precipitation of what he had already learned, and he was precipitating it in such a way that we could benefit from it. So naturally, he had to confine his statements to what for us would be understandable. Sometimes he ventures into certain wordings which he knows are not understandable excuse me, by us, and he tells us so. You just begin to grasp what the consciousness and the mind together are capable of. But obviously, in the esoteric catechism, one hand is below, one hand is above, one hand is below. You seek to bring down whatever you may contact and apply it to the immediate circumstance. And only then will we really be fulfilling our occult obligations. So I realize that presenting the book in this way is in a way not the most practical approach. I'm just looking at this in the larger perspective and trying to enrich the field of thought with thoughts which can be grasped by those who may choose to listen. And it's just really one interpretation of what Master D.K. has said, because anyone starting out in the same way that I have here would have different interpretations. And the interpretations are always less than the original, obviously. They're an attempt to create a bridge between the pure idea or thought and a type of application. Also, interpretations can be extensions, and they can attempt to go beyond what is said and touch certain implications which have not yet been considered, or maybe were not deemed possible of precipitation, maybe were not thought worthwhile to attempt to precipitate, but still giving a link to the expanding thought. What I'll do now, I think we're at a point where, well, we certainly are, beware of talking. So, anyway, we have the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 122D, page 474, apparently, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 122E, page 474.